Welcome to the Winning Edge Coach Podcast with your host, peak performance mindset and life coach, Kevin Oakley. In each episode, Kevin will share with you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you to be the best you can be.
Hey everybody, you're listening to episode 67 of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast, the podcast that aims to provide you with the tools, tactics and techniques to create a winning edge mindset to allow you to live the life you were meant to live. In this episode, I want to share with you six insights I gained from listening to an interview with Dr. Edith Eger. Edith is a psychologist practicing in the United States, born to Hungarian Jewish parents. She is a Holocaust survivor and a specialist in the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. Her memoirs entitled The Choice, Embrace the Possible, published in 2017, and her second book, titled The Gift, 12 Lessons to Save Your Life, was published in September 2020. The insights I'm going to share with you are from the interview with Rangan Chatterjee on his podcast, Feel Better, Live More, and also from Edith's books, The Gift and The Choice. These are the insights that really resonated with me. Before we get started, I just want to remind you that all the previous episodes of the podcast are available on all the major podcast platforms. So if you've not yet had the chance, why not put some time to one side and give them a listen? If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or like button so you can catch all the future episodes. If your podcast platform allows it, please leave a review because that helps us to expand the audience and gets us seen. Also, tell your friends about it. Share the podcast on social media. Let's get the word out there. Let's share this information with as many people as we possibly can. The aim of the podcast is to make sure that people aren't sleepwalking through life. I want people to live the life they were meant to live and bring forth their gifts and talents into the world. Before we get started with the insights I gained from listening to and reading about Dr. Edith Eger, I want to share with you a little more about Edith. A native of Hungary, Edith Eva Eger was just a teenager in 1944. As a Jew living in Nazi-occupied Eastern Europe, she and her family were sent to Auschwitz, the notorious death camp. Her parents were sent to the gas chambers, but Edith's bravery kept her and her sister alive. Towards the end of the war, Edith had been moved to Austria. On May 4, 1945, a young American soldier noticed her hand moving slightly amongst a number of dead bodies. He quickly summoned medical help and brought her back from the brink of death. After the war, Edith moved to Czechoslovakia, where she met the man she would eventually marry. In 1949, they both moved to the United States. In 1969, she received a degree in psychology from the University of Texas, El Paso. She then pursued a doctoral internship at the William Beaumont Army Medical Center at Fort Bliss, Texas. I felt it important to share some of Edith's life history before sharing with you the insights I gleaned from listening and reading about her. You will see from the insights that her time in Auschwitz gave her a unique insight into the way and how we perceive the world around us can shape our journey through it. So let's get on with my six insights from Edith Eger. Number one, you always have a choice. In her discussion with Rangan Chatterjee and also in the book The Choice, Edith often refers to choice. She says that we have a choice to pay attention to what we've lost or pay attention to what we still have. Every day, we are surrounded by choices all the time. We can choose to start something. We can choose to stop something. We can choose to change the way we do something. We can choose or change how we view an aspect of our current situation or how we view or interpret our past. In The Choice, Edith says, and I quote, "I would love to help you discover how to escape the concentration camp of your mind and become the person you were meant to be. I would love to help you experience freedom from the past, freedom from failures and fears, freedom from anger and mistakes, freedom from regret and unresolved grief, and the freedom to enjoy the full, rich feast of life. We cannot choose to have a life free of hurt, but we can choose to be free. to escape the past, no matter what befalls us, and to embrace the possible, I invite you to make the choice to be free. I feel sometimes that we get stuck, and by getting stuck, we lose sight of the possible choices around us. No matter where we are today, you always have options. It is down to us to make the choice. The only time we can make that choice is now, or as Edith puts it, the only place where we can exercise our freedom of choice is in the present. So, take some time to look around you. What are the options available to you that you're missing out on? What choices have you got today that can radically change the journey of your life? Maybe you're stuck in a job that you don't enjoy. What are the options? What could you possibly do? Maybe you're single and stuck as a single person. What are your options? What choices do you have out there? What could you be doing that would move you on your journey? We all have choice, and choice starts today. Insight number two. Change is synonymous with growth. When you change, you have to replace it with something else. Life is not from the outside in, but using our inner resources. It's not about what happens, it's what you do with it. Edith's mother told her, no one can take away what you put in your own mind. I believe that if we're not careful, as we move through life, we start to shy away from change and personal growth. We get comfortable. We like to maintain the status quo. But by maintaining the status quo, we lose out on the opportunities for growth and also what that growth brings us, whether that's new experiences, new friends, new gifts, new talents. We are very much like or creatures of habit. We like to stay comfortable. And to grow, you've got to experience a certain degree of discomfort. You've got to be prepared to step out of your comfort zone and move forward. I've talked about this on a previous episode of the podcast, and the same warning goes with the story I'm going to tell now as it did before. This is just a metaphor. It's not something I've ever done. It's not something I condone doing. It's a metaphor to illustrate how we can change our comfort zone. And that's the strict warning I give with this metaphor I'm about to tell you. It is just a story. It's not something I've ever done. It's not something I condone doing. I do not condone cruelty to animals. But the story is, how do you boil a frog alive? Very simply, you place the frog in a pot of cold water. You put the pot on the stove and you put a low heat under the pot and let the temperature gradually and very slowly increase. As the temperature increases, the frog is oblivious to the change in temperature. And the point will come where actually it is now too hot for the frog to exit the pot, and the frog is boiled alive. And that is how we have to create change in our lives, by gradual change. Like the metaphorical frog, we have to gradually move change a step at a time till the point where the change has become so great that we don't realize that we've changed at all. And we have moved forward and made drastic changes in our life. And that's how we create growth. The only way you can grow as an individual is by creating change and moving forward. Insight number three. The prison is in our own minds. The key is in our pocket. In life, it is very easy to play the victim. Very easy to put on the victim t-shirt and blame everything else for where we are today. The economy, our education, the parent upbringing we had from our parents. It's very easy to play the victim. The dead-end company you're working for, the job you do not enjoy that gives you no opportunities. When you're a victim, you will always find a victimizer. In The Choice, Edith says, and I quote, "Suffering is universal, but victimhood is optional. There is a difference between victimization and victimhood. We are likely to be victimized in some way in the course of our lives. At some point, we will suffer some kind of affliction or calamity or abuse caused by circumstances or people or institutions over which we have little or no control. This is life. And this is victimization. It comes from the outside. It's the neighborhood bully, the boss who rages, the spouse who hits, the lover who cheats, the discriminatory law, the accident that lands you in the hospital. In contrast, victimhood comes from the inside. No one can make you a victim but you. We become victims not because of what happens to us, but when we choose to hold on to our victimization, we develop a victim's mind, a way of thinking and being that is rigid, blaming and pessimistic, stuck in the past, unforgiving, punitive, without healthy limits or boundaries. We become our own jailers when we choose the confines of the victim's mind. I feel that Edith puts that so succinctly. By becoming the victim, we create our own prison and trap ourselves in it. As she said, victimhood comes from the inside. Victimization comes from the outside. We can choose how we react to circumstances. And I've talked about it many times before, is a lot of the time, the way to control that is the questions we ask ourselves and the quality of the questions we ask ourselves. And one of the simplest ones for me is, how can I get the best out of this situation for me? The escape from victimhood is by asking yourself better questions, that how you can change the way you perceive the world, give yourself options and dismantle the prison that you've created for yourself. Mike Mandel, the host of, or one of the hosts of the Brain Software podcast, says people build a labyrinth of their own making and then get stuck in there. We do this with victimhood. We build a labyrinth of perception and ideas that we perceive about the world and then get stuck in there. The way to get outside of that labyrinth is to have a fresh perspective and new options. And to do that, you've got to ask yourself better internal questions. How can I make this best of the situation for me? What can I do differently? What options are open to me? Insight number 4, you create what you think. You're creating your thinking. You create your behavior. I'm very much of the belief that our inner thoughts shape our outer world. Whatever we focus on in our minds, we look for in the outer world. You've probably all heard the story of the time you go to buy a new car and you walk around the used car sales lot and you spot a car and you like it. You talk to the salesman and you're going to buy it. And then you've never probably seen this particular model of car before. And, you know, and that's why you like it. That's what attracted you. It's a little bit unusual. You've never seen anything quite like it before. So you decide to buy it. Then on the journey home from the used car lot, you see this car absolutely everywhere. Everybody has got this car. From something that you never saw before and you felt was quite unique. Once your mind is focused on it, you actually see it everywhere. I've heard the same with couples who are pregnant for the first time or expecting their first child. They actually, the wife becomes pregnant and then all of a sudden they see pregnant women everywhere. Something they'd not been attuned to before. But because that's what they're experiencing, going on in their inner world at that moment in time, they're attuned to it. And they spot it in their outer world. And I believe that's how your mind works. If you sow the seeds in your mind of doom, gloom, restricted options, poor possibilities, that's what you will see in the outer world. Whereas if you sow in your mind the chance of opportunities, choice, growth, and things to be achieved, that's what you will see in your outer world. Your mind will home in on the opportunities that are out there, the chances you could take, the people you could connect with, the resources that are out there, the article in the newspaper about the business you're going to start or the idea that you're researching. They will appear to you. It's important that you tend the garden of your mind and make sure that it is growing the right attributes, i.e. growth, options, choice, etc. So that in the outer world, your mind is looking for the right things and the right opportunities. Insight number 5, you are human. You make mistakes. You are not perfect. For me, there are 2 strands to this insight. The first one, as I often preach about on the podcast, is there's no failure, only feedback. The greatest time that we can learn is when we make mistakes. And the great thing is that we're human and we're going to make mistakes and they're going to give us opportunities to learn. And we must embrace that opportunity to learn and to progress and make things better, to improve ourselves, to move forward. The second insight to me from this particular one, or lesson to be gleaned from it, is that, again, this, as humans, we strive for perfection, and sometimes we put off doing something because we want it to be perfect. We are waiting for the right moment. We're waiting for it to be just right or to be ready. We're never quite going to be just right, or something is not going to be perfect. If you try to create perfection in your life, you're going to create procrastination. You're going to stall. You're going to put off. You're going to wait until things are just right. You've got to start. You've got to begin and then improve. If you're waiting for the right moment or for the product, the book, the song, the poem to be perfect, it will never be perfect. You've got to start and then improve as you go along. Going back to the first point I made, we make mistakes. We learn from those mistakes. That's how we hone it and make it better. So trying to be perfect just creates procrastination. So start, use the learnings that you get from the mistakes you make and improve it and make it better. Launch that product, launch that podcast, get the first draft of that novel or the song, and then improve. Insight number 6, there's no crisis, only transition. I love this insight from Dr. Edith Eger. It demonstrated for me, one, the power that words have. The word crisis is a powerful word, and it sows in your mind of dramatic change and terrible events. As Edith says, there's no crisis, only transition. So expanding on that, she went on to say, there's no midlife crisis, just a midlife transition. What if we were to change the use of that word from crisis to transition? What change would it make for you? As Edith says, it's not a midlife crisis, it's a midlife transition. What other crisis could there be? We're in the midst of an economic crisis. Well, what about if we were in the midst of an economic transition? By saying it's an economic transition, how would you feel differently about what is going on around you? Politicians often say we are in the midst of a global crisis. Well, what if it was changed to, if the politician stood up and said we're in the midst of a global transition? People would feel differently. It doesn't feel as doom and gloom laden or as scary when you say transition. We're in a period of change. And that's where the word crisis comes from. It's from, I believe, from the Greek, and it's to do with a medical term, and it's the change in the course of the disease, either for the better or the worse. It's a turning point. A crisis is a turning point, and that's what we've got to remember with ourselves. Instead of using the word crisis, change it to the word transition and see how it impacts on your life. That was the Winning Edge Coach podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Winning Edge Coach podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please hit the subscribe button, and if possible, leave a rating or a review. Also, please feel free to share the podcast with others and post about it on your favourite social media platform. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Twitter @WinningEdgePod. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.